Hey folks, this is Christine Blackburn, and I want to personally thank each and every one of you guys for listening to Storyworthy. Storyworthy has more listeners than ever before, and it's thanks to you guys. So please tell a friend, a coworker, or a family member about the Storyworthy podcast, and then we can keep this train rolling. Now let's get on with it.
Hey, it's Caleb Bacon from Man School. You're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we are in Bad Harzburg, Germany, which is where my mother was from, and now we are visiting her gravesite.
Oh my gosh, Hannes. Wait a minute. Our topic
because
tonight
nothing...
is on the road with mom.
Right.
So we have to go on. We have to go all the way to Germany.
Oh, I thought it was end of the road with mom.
No, it's on the road.
Oh, it's on the road. Okay. In that case, we're in Milwaukee, where my mother lived for 35 years.
Are you lying to me right now? Did you
We're in our magical bus studio.
No, I get the Storyworthy bus of truth, but my point is you seriously thought the topic tonight was the end of the road with mom.
No, I'm yes anding.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, wait, that was no, I'm nodding. Okay, whatever, it was bad improv. That's what I'm saying. It's about mom. It's about traveling on the road with mom, and haven't we all done that?
Did your mom, she drove, right, Hannes?
Yeah, we didn't, she drove. I spent a lot more time traveling with my mom than I think other people did because she was from Germany. She would go back and forth, and sometimes I would go with her, and then eventually she remarried and moved back there, which meant there was a lot of time of like, I'm going to go for 2 weeks and be with mom in Germany where I don't really speak very good German, so I only have my mother to talk to. That puts a lot of strain and you're conversing with mom.
Well, your brother
8 hours
would go too, right?
No, my brother's schizophrenic.
Well, I know that, but that doesn't mean he couldn't travel.
You ever put a schizophrenic on a plane for 12 hours?
Wow, it doesn't work.
No.
Did you ever try? Did he ever try to fly?
He went with her once.
And what happened?
I did not. They made it.
Did he get back? Yes.
He got back. But by the time, you know, later on, he was so bad that there was no way that was ever going
to
work.
Interesting. So would go to Germany to see your mom, but he didn't go?
No. No.
Huh.
And then when she got sick and I moved over there, it's like, so... You spend a lot of time. Here's what I think of. No matter how good your relationship is with your mom, you spend a lot of time. It's like you're at lunch with your mom discussing where you're going to go to dinner because you've run out of things to say.
You run out of things to talk about.
And all of a sudden it's like we're having salmon. Is there a good place for pizza here in Bad Harzburg? By the way, the answer is always no.
Right, because they only have Pizza Huts in Europe.
No, they do have. No, they did have individual pizzerias, but they don't quite get like. I remember with the woman I was going out with there, we go. She's like, we go to pizza. I'm like, great, whatever. And she orders her favorite pizza. I'm like, it's tuna.
That's not right.
Regular pizza, tomato sauce, cheese, tuna.
I don't agree.
Now, when it's hot. Not that bad.
Hot tuna pizza?
That sounds like
a band.
Yes, it sounds like a dirty, dirty band in Russia that protests feminism or something. I don't know. I'm thinking of Pussy Riot. Anyhow, no. But here's the problem. And I tell her because I'm trying to come up with something to say to her. And I'm like, hey, you know, in America, people love to eat cold pizza for breakfast. Not thinking about the fact that the next day we're getting tuna pizza, and so the next day for breakfast, instead of a beautiful spread of cheeses and jams and wonderful fresh breads, I get two slices of ice-cold tuna pizza. And I don't have the German to explain that, no, you psychotic.
Say nine
not,
good. Nine
not
good.
This crap-old pizza.
It's nine good.
So I just friggin' ate it. Anyhow, I went off the rails for a little while.
All right, but nonetheless, your mom drove. You drove with her, and anything else?
Yes, there was a lot of train travel in Germany.
Yeah, I would say.
You know, which also requires a lot of talking and.
Well, a few things come to mind when it comes to my mom and cars. Growing up in Pittsburgh, we had a lot of shitty cars. I'll say that. Because there were six kids, We had the Ford Country Squire, the Oldsmobile Custom Cruiser. We even had my father's aunt, my father, his aunt's 52 Chevy, and we called it the Blue Goose. It was light blue.
Yeah.
There were no seat belts. There was only AM radio. My sister took her driver's test in this thing.
And lost her virginity in the back seat.
No, but she, well, I'll tell you, it was like a sofa in the back.
Yeah.
But she failed the driver's test a couple of times, because who can do a three-point turn when there's no power steering?
In literally the Titanic,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And we always had to have the big wagons. You know, they had like the paneling on the side.
Yeah.
I was, because I was the youngest, I had to sit facing the back, like the way, way back.
Yeah, my cousins who had three kids, they had the Ford LTD wagon.
Yeah.
And yeah, just kids roaming around like bocce balls. Like bang, 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 bang.
We would, that's true. We never wore seatbelts. We would like literally think it was funny if my mom made a sharp turn or she peeled out or something, because then we'd fall like into the wheel well or whatever. We'd fall.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But my mother was a very nervous driver, I imagine, because she had six kids in the back seat. And so she would do things and get herself very frustrated. Like, for instance, once we were in the car with my mom, she needed to get gas. She pulls up to the car, up to the gas pump, realizing that the gas tank is on the other side of the car. She proceeds to drive around the gas pump island, only to discover that the gas cap is still on the wrong side of the car.
Ah, right.
So she drives around again, and she does this no less than four times. Of course, we start giggling in the back seat, and so she's getting more and more pissed, and finally she just peels out of the gas station on two wheels. I mean, she's on the edge, and we laugh so hard, and then, you know, she'd get more and more pissed.
There was a lot of reaching in the back, where you're like, how long is her arm? I'm 10 feet away.
Now, in that kind of situation, she'll peel out, okay, if she's angry. But in general, when my mom drives, if she starts thinking, the car slows literally to 25, 30 yeah. miles an hour. So you can be on a turnpike, on a freeway, on a whatever. But if my mom starts thinking, then the car is going to slow way down. That's just how she drives. Another example is of her peeling out. Once she was trying to make the light at Murphy Mart. Murphy Mart was like Ames or like Target or Kmart, right?
Oddly enough, they did not sell any beds.
Murphy Mart, right. So she literally puts the pedal to the floor, the traffic light, to make the green light, and she's gunning it. She's just turning around the corner. The passenger door, my door, flies open. I start flying out of the car. Instead of slowing down, my mother just yells, "Grab her, Lisa!" And my sister pulls me into the car. All right, now, once after I get my driver's license, we happen to have at that time, now my father had left our family, so now it's like no money, and now my dad left, and now there's no money, as it were, and we get this shitty car. It's a Chevy Nova, and my brother, it was so covered in rust, my brother literally took it into the garage, taped up the windows and the mirrors with masking tape, took a can of Kelly Green spray paint, just shook it back and forth, fucking painted the car.
Yeah.
That's the Chevy Nova I'm driving. Okay. So one time, right after I get my license, my mom's going to let me borrow the car. I'm heading out of the house, and she yells after me like an afterthought. She says, "Oh, honey, if flames start shooting out from under the hood, go ahead and pull over." Will do, Mom, will do.
Thanks, Mario Andretti. You just run. Reminding me of my mother's last car.
Right.
When she had moved back to Germany, she had an Opel. They don't even sell Opels in America.
Right, right.
And I believe it was maybe three or four cylinders. So you want to talk about, my mom didn't slow down when she got on freeway and thought, but we were driving on the friggin' Autobahn.
Oh, my
In a 20-year-old Opel, which is basically just a lawnmower that's enclosed.
You're in a death
trap. And people are shooting past us in their Mercedes station wagons at 125 miles an hour.
Right.
That's terrifying.
Well, I tell you, you know, now I have a six-year-old daughter, and she's in the back seat, of course, and I think
Yeah, she's
to myself,
wrapped up in a thing. She's got her own airbag
but
inside.
Am I fucking her up, though? I mean, what am I doing? I think I'm a pretty good driver. She gets a little offended at all the Neil Young I play, but other than that...
Yeah, no. Except for the weed addiction that she already has.
I never smoke weed in the car with my daughter, Hannes.
Oh, I was just thinking about Neil Young. Neil Young's voice causes people to smoke weed.
I wonder, though, in the future, what stories she'll tell about me in the car.
Well, unfortunately, though, none of the stories will involve her, like, falling over. Like, we did somehow all survive our complete lack of seatbelts as children.
Yeah,
and
no,
now
she's
it's
strapped
like,
in, right.
It's like if you were to put your child in the front seat with a seatbelt, you'd be pulled over and arrested.
Right. No, she's only, my daughter's like 42 pounds. You have to be like 80 pounds to sit in the front seat. She's going to go to the prom. The guy's going to put her in the back seat.
Yeah, that scene,
ladies
I don't,
and gentlemen,
oh, no, that's not right.
This is going down.
This is going downhill very
fast.
Hey,
look, you guys, we've got a great storyteller here. Hey, before we bring him up, I did want to mention, folks, if you want to support the show,
yes,
you can do that.
You can go to our website, storyworthypodcast.com. You could, number one, click on our Amazon banner and shop normally, and we get a little taste.
That doesn't hurt at all.
Doesn't, not money out of your pocket. But if you don't mind a little money out of your pocket. We have a new monthly program.
We do. It's a PayPal monthly donation button. And if you give us $5 a month, which is really, honest, that's a dollar a show because we drop 5 shows a month. Did you know that?
Wow.
Can you
that
do
is,
math?
That, no, I cannot do math. I went to an American school.
It's a dollar a show, folks. $5 a month would help us out. Also, if you want to give us $10 a month, that's called a story-worthy donation.
Right, right.
And what do we call it, Hannes, for the folks that give more than that? Like, let's
that's
a give
best
us,
of story-worthy donation.
That's
$25
story,
a month.
That's exactly right. So, folks, please help us out. And another thing you could do is leave us a good review on iTunes. We're always looking for that.
Yeah, yeah. Just go on iTunes. Here's what you do. You go on iTunes, you type, I like this show. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Get the fuck out.
And then
right.
you're out.
Five
then you're
stars,
out. You go right
like
to the pornography
show.
That you're ordering from Amazon through
That's
our website.
Right. That's exactly right.
And just
right.
leave us alone.
Also, folks, you can email us at info@storyworthypodcast.com.
And on Twitter,
course,
you can find us at Storyworthy, which is Christine, and at HannesPH, which is me.
I really enjoy the Twitter. Our guest tonight enjoys the Twitter.
He's a big Twitter guy.
His Twitter handle is Caleb Eats Bacon. And that, you know, nobody's going to have that handle. That it's only his, isn't it?
It is only his, although I think he did have to fight with a pornography website that was very specialized of a guy named Bacon who was always getting
I wonder
eaten.
If Caleb's middle name is Eats. You know, Caleb Eats Bacon. Folks, wherever you are, stay
could
tuned.
Could be Caleb Poops Bacon. That could also be his middle name.
All right, folks, wherever you are, stay tuned because Caleb Bacon is on his way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have comedian Jennifer Valley.
And I'll be talking about a lovely trip I took to Tijuana to save a few bucks.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
Hi, I'm Mike Schmidt from the 40-Year-Old Boy Podcast, and you're listening to Storyworthy with my friend Christine Blackburn and my new acquaintance Hannes Finney and a guy named Sean who won't talk.
And we're back. We are now in Sherwood, Wisconsin, outside of the apartment I used to share with my mother when I went to high school. It's on Wilson Drive. So hi, everybody in Sherwood, Wisconsin.
And what kind of car did you have then?
That was, I believe, a very old Volvo station wagon.
Oh,
the
well,
round
look, that's a solid
kind. Not
car.
The yeah, but this is like from the 70s.
Right.
It was it was a solid car. Yeah.
And European,
no, my mother, we never had any of the crappy cars that burst into flame like you were talking about.
Yeah, we got a lot of
we
those.
Always, yeah, no, we had some good stuff.
All right, you guys, we got a storyteller here right now. His name is Caleb Bacon, and he is a writer for the new hit show Sullivan and Son. I say new hit show, but it's going to be 3 years now.
Yeah, but it's still relatively
new.
It's pretty new. Friggin' How I Met Your Mother's been on for 10 years. They still haven't got to the mother yet. What the hell?
And also, Caleb has a weekly podcast called Man School with Caleb Bacon. Man School is a great show. It's actually listenable for the females as well.
Is it? Well,
yes,
yeah,
it
you
is.
Learn something about it. You know, it's teaching men how to be men, but it's teaching women about men.
Yeah, it features you know interviews with men about their defining life experiences and then how they're able to overcome them. So it's kind of cool.
Right. And it's men actually like being honest as opposed to like man cave, which would be like, I remember when I had sex with all the cheerleaders at once.
Right.
And then I ate all the bacon. Oddly enough, your name is Bacon. Then I had sex with a pile of bacon. Okay,
know,
enough with the bacon already.
Man School with Caleb Bacon is also part of the Sideshow Network. You can
the Sideshow Network? I've heard good things about them.
And you can,
they have a good coffee machine, I hear.
You can find Man School on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and you can find Caleb Bacon at CalebBacon.com or on Twitter at Caleb Eats Bacon. Folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Caleb Bacon.
All right, good to be here. Thank you, guys. This is On the Road with Mom, or How My Coming of Age Took 2,900 Miles, Two Crutches, and One Surprise Sidekick. So I was 23 when I decided to fly the coop, and I escaped my hometown of Albany, New York, basically just for the good times and good weather of Los Angeles. And I'd been offered a super basic entry-level job in television, and I just romanticized what this trip cross-country was going to be like. I saw a week driving by myself, just endless roads where I could think. I could eat all the junk food I wanted. I could just, you know, find some time to hit on lots of girls who said y'all. And it was going to be just me, one long open road to freedom and success. But the week before I left, I was in Miami on a little bit of a party trip, and I fell down a few stairs thanks to a bunch of these frozen red drinks. And I wound up in the Miami Beach Mount Sinai Medical Center, where I'd actually been on a previous trip before. It's a good place. I recommend it. And so I ended up having a black and blue ankle the size of a Thanksgiving turkey, and I was on crutches. I couldn't even carry so much as a backpack. So I was afraid I was going to have to postpone my trip, and my California dreaming would have just been pipe dreaming. So I recruited the only volunteer who'd be willing to hop in my car for a week, and that was my mom. And though I outsized her by 1 foot and 100 pounds, this slender 5'3" woman with sharp brown hair was to be the muscle to carry my bags. But I was a 23-year-old guy, and I loved her, but I just knew we would spend a week bickering over speed limits, why I didn't clean the bathroom more often, and about the time, well, any time I had bad grades throughout my life. And so I just knew with this week together in this confined space, it'd be like a science experiment where I'd surely plant my foot in my mouth, and one of us would provoke things, and someone would have to be dropped off at the nearest airport. So the thing about my mom is she always had one goal with her life, and that was just to be a mom. And so on a cold night a few days before Christmas of 1980, I left her womb, and I made that dream a reality. And life would never again require such little effort to warm the heart of a loved one. I mean, all I had to do was get out of there. And so basically I peaked at just a minute old, downhill since. And so she chose stay-at-home motherhood, and she was just determined to spend her time giving myself and my brother the best life she could. So for starters, she insisted I try in school, and since I was a bright kid, she could never understand why I would yawn my way into such lousy grades year after year. And this earned me endless hours of hearing about how I wasn't living up to my potential. And I'd say things like, my potential doesn't care about algebra. But my mom was convinced otherwise, and she nagged me for 2 decades. So on that chilly March morning, upstate New York, 2004, we take off, my dad and brother waving in the distance. And so I was after my first job out of college, and so we agreed that because I had a date, I had to start this gig, that we were going to have long days on the road, no sightseeing, just get down to business. So first day, we do 600 miles. Endless, boring pine trees. We land in Dublin, Ohio, home of the Wendy's fast food chain, which I recommend. Storyworthy, sponsored by Wendy's. And then, basically, we get back on the road. Flat nothingness of southern Ohio, southern Indiana. And suddenly, all those pine trees that I was sick of, I missed. We were in my Hyundai Elantra, my Korean chariot. And it was filled with whatever possessions I was going to take to California. And you know, the first few days were just kind of boring and not fun. We pushed each other's buttons. We ate lousy Subway sandwiches. And, you know, finally the trip seemed to get a little bit more interesting by the time we crossed the Mississippi into Missouri, because drove by the Gateway Arch of St. Louis and things kind of started to look interesting. And, you know, there's the change in the topography. But basically, after 3 days, we get to Oklahoma City. We're grouchy. And we just felt a world away from California and the Pacific Ocean. So we just needed to chill out. So we pulled into Oklahoma City. My mom had been there once before, and she had the best idea. She said, Caleb, let's go to the mall. And that was something that had always been like an answer to any problem in our family's life before. And even if it wasn't a problem, it was just always a way to make things better. We just go to the mall, especially because it was cold out, and that was a place where it wasn't cold out. Or when it was really hot out, they have air conditioning. So what more could you ask for than the mall? So I'm on my crutches. We're hobbling around this mall in Oklahoma City, and we were just so happy to be upright. And so we had a meal where there was actually a waitress and not just somebody who said, would you like fries with that? And we just got to relax. And that was kind of exactly what we needed in the trip, because it was just not fun. And I don't know what 23-year-old wants to go cross country with his mom anyway. But before Oklahoma City, before we took off, we decided to break the no sightseeing rule. So we headed to the site the next morning of the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. And so there at the Oklahoma City National Memorial, our breaths were taken away by the tribute to peace that stood where the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building no longer did. A pair of large bronze gates bookended the glassy reflection pool in the middle of it. And one of them read 901 to represent the final moment of peace, and the other read 903 to represent the first moment of recovery. And that was actually the time of mourning we were there. So as we continued west, the unplanned sightseeing stop had opened the door to like a lot of meaningful and deep conversation. You know, she told me a story about how she had been stranded traveling on 9/11. She got stuck in Tennessee for 4 days. We talked about things more than just like what was on the radio or what was going to be our next stop, like, you know, what my life might be like in Los Angeles, my first opportunity to try and become a man, you know, and she wanted me to live up to my potential, and she kind of had a sense that I might be able to do that in Los Angeles. So it made sense that to me that all those years of her nagging me weren't just her giving me a hard time. She wanted me to succeed and find happiness, and I started to appreciate that just because I had a drunken stumble in Miami that busted at my ankle didn't mean she had to go cross country with me. She was actually a willing volunteer. And what I kind of realized was that she never bugged me about moving to Los Angeles. It kind of came together pretty quickly, and she never questioned it and never gave me a hard time. And so it's kind of like she always bugged me about the little things, but she just had faith in me. And she just knew that, you know, I was up to something good. And I realized that I had just had so many friends who were living lives for their parents, who were taking jobs, going to colleges that they didn't want to do. And I didn't have to worry about any of that. And that was really fantastic. So our last night on the road, we were in Gallup, New Mexico. And I don't know if you've ever been, but I don't recommend it. And basically, we were in a place where we heard gunshots. We saw cops stop people over the road going through their cars. Saw a fist fight in the parking lot of our motel. And it wasn't even that bad of a place, but it was Gallup. And then the next morning, we couldn't be more ready to leave a place. And we go to the convenience store to get some gas and some coffee. And it takes 20 minutes in line at this convenience store because the locals were all buying their day supply of 40-ounce bottles of liquor. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But that was Gallup. And it was another colorful Gallup morning. So we took off driving through Arizona, and that's where my mom lives now, and that's where she's from. And I kind of realized that somewhere after Oklahoma City, and with the bonding of all the crap in Gallup, we became friends. So we get to Los Angeles, and we're cool. You know, nobody was on each other's case. We'd been through this big experience. And so finally, she stayed in Los Angeles for a weekend, and then we get to a point where she's going to fly back to New York, and we have just these really teary goodbyes. And we, you know, for the first time in my life, I was really on my own. And so now I was going to have a chance to sink or swim, face the challenges of being man. And all it took to get to that point was being transported across the country by my tiny mother. And she, deep down, she knew I was up for it. But because all of a sudden we had like an adult friendship brought on by that trip, we decided, like, okay, we've got to keep this going. So for the first couple of years, especially, that I lived in Los Angeles, we would make trips. We'd decide to, like, get together. And so instead of meeting in the middle of the country, she just kind of came out west to meet me. And we go to places like Scottsdale or Albuquerque. And we, you know, we would always talk about that kind of unforgettable trip we had and what an amazing time it was. And we even went to Vegas. And the first time I ever went to Vegas was with my mom, and we were somewhere, and we asked somebody to take our picture, and they asked us if we were there to get married. And my mom is definitely younger looking, but we said no, we're mother and son, and they were surprised by that. But we just were able to like have fun as adult friends in Las Vegas, and we did not get married. But what I realized from that trip and shortly into living in Los Angeles, that when I need my mommy, I know that I get a friend too.
Wow, that's a beautiful story.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope my daughter and I have that. I mean, we have that relationship now, but she's six, so. But I hope
you're
I have.
You're smoking weed in the car all the time.
Yeah.
No.
Well, hotboxing your daughter.
No. No, but I that's a beautiful thing. And so.
Yeah, this whole getting along with your mom thing, it's very confusing to me.
How often do you talk now?
We talk a few times a week.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
And tell me about your brother. Did he fare as well?
So I grew up in like a typical nuclear family. That was my dad, my mom, my brother, and I.
Yeah.
And so we'd kind of, when we did family stuff, we'd sort of pair off into teams because my brother was always just like a pissed off kid. Mm. And, you know, my dad was like the pacifier. So he would always be paired off with my brother. So like whenever we'd do family things, yeah. I was kind of always with my mom. So we sort of had that connection. My brother was kind of always off to the side, but I don't think they take car trips together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask, yeah, it's because it's like, so your dad taking this trip with you didn't even come up as a possibility?
No, it was just a busy guy with his, yeah. with his own law firm, and yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's so beautiful that your mother cares enough about you to support this venture. Because, you know, my whole life I was told, you know, you can't be an actress. You're not going to Los Angeles. You know, that doesn't happen. That wasn't even in the possibility of their realm of thinking.
Yeah, and now they think you hold a podcast called Story World.
Exactly. but what year was your mom born? I'm trying to get a – how old is she?
Yeah.
She's in her mid-50s.
Oh, so she's very young. And at the time, she was then only in her 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. That's what occurred to me too. Is like, how old was your mom when she's coming across? And I'm like, oh, you think she's old, but she wasn't old at all. I mean, maybe you didn't. No, but think she was old. But
she was, you know. She was mom age. You know, whatever that felt like to me at the time.
Because when you're little, I know my mom, my daughter thinks I'm like, you know, in my 80s. She has no, you know, there's no.
Well, that's just rude.
Well, I know, right? No, but all the little kids at school, you know, hey, Alabama's mom, you know, hey, lady, hey, Alabama's mom.
Ma'am, they don't see ma'am, they're trying to see you through the haze of pop.
Yeah, they don't see you through.
Well, it's like, no, is it like people put on Facebook, like they'll put up like, you know, people I went to grade school, but they put up a picture of our sixth grade and there's a teacher and I look at him and I think, wait a minute.
That's a hot teacher.
That guy's like 32.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I thought he was 110 years old.
Now, did you ask your mom anything on the trip like that was personal? Did you say like, tell me about when you got married, mom, or like?
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. Because my mom was a military brat, so she kind of grew up all over the country. And my dad was from upstate New York, and that's pretty much where he's always lived up until the past couple of years. And so they really, really randomly were living in Ohio, in Cleveland. For a period of time, and that's when they met. So I remember we talked a lot about that because I was unsure of some of the details.
They're not together now?
They are.
Oh, they are together.
Yeah,
and they live where now?
They live in Arizona.
They live in Arizona, yeah. So that's nice and close.
Yeah, 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 it's a lot closer.
How did they move all the way out here then?
They first moved to New Mexico, and they thought that they could get a taste of the Southwest and not have to deal with all the heat, and then they get to New Mexico, and they're like, oh, this place kind of blows.
Well, they have the 40-ouncers in the morning. There's that.
Well, and they've got the blue meth.
Well, that's what kept them there.
But yeah,
they,
sure.
It wasn't enough for them to stay there forever. So then they're like, well, we wanted to be in Arizona all along, so they just skipped over one more state.
Well,
so,
they were very funny. Where'd your brother end up?
He's actually there, too.
Oh,
he lives across the street from them.
So the whole Bacon family just went to the West Coast.
Yeah. Oh, well, Kevin and I are here.
Oh, okay. So your brother's here, too.
No. My actor, Kevin Bacon, friends.
Oh, that's not that funny. That's not that funny.
Well, we're not related.
So you're really like one degree from Kevin Bacon. I mean, because you share the same last name.
I saw him eating bacon at a restaurant once as I was eating bacon.
Did you?
So that's zero degrees. So that's like
hot.
We had like a mind meld.
That actually,
like
I believe that
bacon.
That almost the universe almost imploded right there. Just sucked into itself.
He was not aware of that. But yeah, I agree. Hans.
What happened to your foot that night when you were drinking the red beverages? And by the way, were they Rum Runners?
There's a place called Wet Willie's in South Beach.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Sure. And they've got a thing called the Call a Cab.
Well, sure.
And it makes you want to, well, actually, it makes you want to call a cab to take you to the hospital, in my case.
Yeah, right. So what happened? You fell down some steps.
Yeah, I kind of overestimated my ability to enthusiastically dart up and down stairs.
Yes.
And as I was going down the stairs, I was kind of running and jumping around. Yeah.
But you had this deadline to get to L.A. How'd you get a job in New York? How'd you get a job in L.A.?
Kevin Bacon.
Come on.
It's the Bacon connection. No, I just have I do have an uncle in showbiz.
Okay.
Who was just like, hey, there's a TV show I can get you a job making photocopies on. I'm like, all right, I'll go do that.
Like a PA?
Yeah.
So, what'd you go to school for?
I have
photocopies.
Sure.
You went to Eastman Kodak University.
I minored in Xerox. Yeah. It was a fantastic time. But I worked on...
And that's the facts.
Oh, all right. That's it. Bye. Bye.
Oh, I crossed the line? So,
but where's Hannes? I can't do this shit.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, I went to school. I got a communications degree.
Right.
I didn't really learn anything, but I just got a 2.5 GPA.
Right.
Yeah.
Mine was a 2.7 in college. Way to go.
Mine was out of 100. Actually, I know. I don't think that's allowed.
Okay, so
what school was this? I'm just curious.
University of Albany in Albany, New York.
University of Albany.
Yeah.
Why their most famous alumni is, well, you apparently. So that's
let's see. I think it's Jeffrey Dahmer, Charles Manson.
Awesome. No.
It was a good place to go to school if you didn't want to spend money to get a good education.
Sure. Did your brother go there too?
He visited there.
I see.
He's visited a couple schools.
So what was the job when you came out? What show was it on?
Big Love.
Big Love.
The pilot for Big Love in 2004.
Oh, that was great. Okay. And then I'm looking here at some of your stuff you've done. You also worked on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of my favorite shows. Love that show.
But you should love Sullivan and St. Mark's. It takes place in Pittsburgh,
we're
the
gonna
home
talk
of Christine Blackburn.
Oh, we're going to talk about Sullivan and Son.
Okay.
But listen, you also worked on John from Cincinnati.
I did.
That was a short run thing, but that was a great show a minute there.
People either loved it or hated it.
And that was David...
David Milch.
Yeah. Right.
And our friend of the show, Jim Beaver, was on that show.
Oh, I love Jim Beaver. Yeah.
That's right.
I worked on Deadwood, too.
And you worked on Deadwood.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
awesome. So what did you do on those shows? Like a PA? Were you just...
I started off as a PA on Deadwood. And then kind of randomly, but very much happily to the result, was I got to be the video playback guy.
Sure.
And so I got to just basically run the fancy VCRs for the actors and
you're
the
producers. You're the guy who sits off in the corner.
The video village, as you people wouldn't know in show business. You know.
Yeah, but I got to sit with everybody.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So I did that, and I developed a relationship with David Milch, the creator of that show, and then got to be a writer's assistant with him for a while. And so that's
wait
I did
a minute.
On
now,
John
wait a
Cincinnati.
Minute. You were that close with David Milch as you were his writer's assistant?
Yep.
And so give us one of his stories, because he is a really interesting
We've
character.
Had several David Milch stories on
sure.
the show.
Yeah, I worked for him for like 6 years.
And tell us about
him. We worked a lot of shows together.
He's a genius. This is what we hear.
Yes, he's a genius. He's an eccentric genius. And so he's somebody who doesn't like technology. So like he doesn't use a cell phone, doesn't use a computer. But on the other hand, he has a Mercedes that probably cost about $200,000.
Right.
Which I got to, I remember one time he was speaking at USC.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, David, can I go? And because I always like to hear him talk, and he's a really great public speaker. So we get in the car, he hands me the keys to his $200,000 Mercedes.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, and he's kind of a wild man. I'm like, maybe he'll let me actually drive this thing. So then we get in the car. I turn it on.
He gives you the keys, so now you know you're driving.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the passenger seat. I'm in the driver's seat. He puts his seat all the way back and goes to sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
And so not only do I have this very high-performance automobile. It sounds like your Nova, but maybe a step up.
It has two coats of spray paint.
Yeah, you can't even tell, but it looks so good. And so I couldn't wake the baby. You know, I had to drive that thing so slow and so delicate to USC because he was sleeping.
Right.
And it was a very nerve-wracking experience.
I can
and people
imagine.
May not know around the country, USC, although a very posh and expensive school, is in a shithole of a neighborhood south of downtown.
Well, it's a tricky neighborhood. There's a lot of traffic
neighborhood. Yeah, once you get down there, you can be like, I'm going to be shot at any moment. Or
if you step
I'm,
off campus, there could be trouble.
Yeah.
But so he's a guy who, since he doesn't use computers and he's a writer, he basically dictates in this agreed-upon language and somebody types. And so I was basically his hands for...
With the hand of the king.
Yes.
Do you have any kind of relationship with him now? Or he would remember you, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we still talk.
And wow, that's so interesting. What is he up to? Do you know?
He's working on another show for HBO that they just shot in New York.
What's it called?
It's called The Money.
The Money. Interesting. Who's the star?
Brendan Gleeson.
Huh.
That's who it is.
All right.
Yeah, I love that guy.
And
an Irish actor. Right?
Yeah,
you're a big guy. Yeah.
As a writer's assistant, you got more and more into writing yourself.
I did. Yeah.
And then you've been published in the Huffington Post, LA Weekly, LA List, and all sorts of things. LA List is the LA.
LAist. Yeah.
LAist. Yeah. Right. And so, but you didn't go to school for writing.
No, I kind of always liked it, and there was always something about it that I was good at. You know, when I would kind of screw around or just have some ideas, and then in college there were some classes I took where I was like, oh, I'm kind of decent at this. But I just wanted to basically screw around with my life
right
for a while, like a lot of people at that age. So I kind of discovered writing, but it was always kind of there.
Well, you're very fortunate that you had that building blocks that your mother, you know, that support from her. And not only the fact that she supported your decision to come to Los Angeles, but that she, you know, literally drove you here. So that gives you confidence. I'm just saying, because a kid in their 20s coming out to LA, that is a rough road. You either make it or break it. I mean, it's like sink or swim, because it's not easy out here.
No, it's definitely not.
So you were you had a nice start.
Definitely. I started strong, then I cooled off.
And you're getting hot again.
But getting hot again.
The bacon's on the fire. You know what I'm saying, Hannes?
Sizzle, sizzle, sizzle.
Hey,
I can't.
Listen.
I'm not like Michael Winslow.
Also,
I can't do any actual.
Follow me on Twitter at Caleb Poops Bacon. That's my Twitter handle.
Hey, I do want to ask you about the
You can make that your Twitter handle, and you'll see your people double.
Listen, Man School. What is the you? Do you ever have female guests?
No.
I would be a great female guest for you, because I could give you the viewpoint of the female. Not that you need that.
Sure. Well, the thing about my show is, like, it's not misogynistic. It's not anti-woman. It's just, like, for men, the way, like, Cosmo is for women.
Is that how you get away with, like, talking about fantasy football?
Okay, so you came to the live show at the LA Podcast Festival, which thank you very much. And so that kind of made it a little bit more.
That was more manny, isn't it?
Yeah. So the show is basically about different men telling their life experiences. You know, not too unlike Storyworthy.
Yeah.
And what they learned from it, how they got through it, and that sort of thing. So
we don't care about how people get through things. We
But actually, men like not making stupid jokes,
and
like Caleb Poops Bacon and stuff like that.
No,
you know,
I get
so like
it.
Actually speaking the truth, which never.
And recently,
men don't do in this society. We're really not encouraged to like be, you know, to sound really, but like vulnerable. It's like to tell a story where you come off badly and what you learn from it is not something men are encouraged to do.
Right. So this is what Man School is trying to change. And recently you had on Adam Carolla.
I did.
And how was that?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I heard the show.
Oh, thank you. I interviewed Adam a couple times before for print publications.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew him a little bit, but just to be able to have him on my podcast.
You went
you know,
to his studio.
I went to his studio and just to sit down, podcaster to podcaster. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talked about his race cars.
A little bit.
Which is a very man thing, isn't it?
It is. But the thing is, like I can swing a hammer. I just don't know what I'm going to hit. You know, I'm not that kind of man. I do love my football. I don't play fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play fantasy either. I know. I love, true blue or true green Bay Packer fan, but it's like this whole fantasy football thing really strikes me as a real waste of time.
It's
like they're not actual teams. It's not actually happening.
But there must be something to it. I mean, obviously people are way into it. I mean, that's like saying that pro wrestling is fake, so that's not good. But that's not true. There's a whole thing behind, you know.
I know that's completely true. I'm gonna yes and you.
There's any game. I'm sorry.
Pro wrestling, it's good.
Pro wrestling is good.
Okay, Sean Merrick says
it's
official.
He's threatening to turn off my microphone if I don't. Yes, I love the Hulk. Wait, no, The Rock.
The Hulk is somebody, but the Hulk is a green guy.
That's true. Oh, Hulk is a pretty. Yeah, that's true. There are several people named Hulk. You know what? It's manly. The words L and the letters L and K together. That's
really?
All that sounds manly. Hulk.
Skulk.
Polk High, where Al Bundy played football.
Sure.
You know?
Hey, Caleb, would you like to play some Shotgun Story Worthy?
I would love to play Shotgun Story Worthy.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Story Worthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the story worthy wheel of truth and tells a true 1-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
And the wheel lands on virginity, which I do not have anymore. But what I remember most about losing my virginity was that I tried to make it like a romantic thing. And I was like, you know, there were candles on. It was the house that I had lived in. Well, it was my parents' house and with my then girlfriend at the time. And we were trying to get it on, you know, and it was not the most successful thing. But my parents were out of town, and my brother was at his friend's house, and the phone kept ringing, and he kept calling me to pick him up. And, I mean, I couldn't really come out and say, hey, I'm trying to lose my virginity here, but he would not stop calling. And so as things are not necessarily fitting the way, you know, they eventually did, I got to just deal with this jerk on the phone, and I'm trying to have, you know, some music on and candles and make sweet, 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 sweet love.
How old were you?
I was the tender young age of 18.
That's very beautiful. No, I like you. Don't have to pull. You don't have to do any more topics. You can be done.
I can be done.
No, yeah. You've busted your hymen.
Oh, okay.
That was your shotgun hymen.
That's a different.
That's a nice way to lose your virginity, though.
That's one of my favorite Jewish rap groups.
I mean, it was thought out. You lit some candles. There was some preparation. You seemed to have care.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There was care.
And were you in the living room?
It was my bedroom.
In your bedroom, and yeah. that's even another bonus. Pretty good.
We've had some. We get a lot of the virginity stories, and we've had one where it's like the guy was like, "My friend's parents were out of town," and I'm like, "Oh God, don't tell me you did it in your friend's parents' bed." No, they did it in their friend's parents' bathroom on the floor.
Nice.
Which is like, yeah, there's nothing like cold
tile. That was
Paul
Gale Martin from the Mental Illness.
Oh, that's
happy
what
hour.
It was. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh my God, it's your own bedroom. That's hour. Pretty rare, I think, actually, for teenagers to have.
Well, look, I wasn't exactly a 15-year-old getting all wild and spontaneous out there. I had waited.
She was the same age?
She was a little bit younger.
Okay.
She was whatever was legal.
You can't be that much younger than 18.
Yeah.
No, she was 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
which,
then
it was
you,
legal in New
did
York.
Did you go out for a period of time?
A couple years.
Did you make sure, were you using contraception?
Sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
And by contraception, you mean your brother calling you every time. He's like they call him the stopper.
There's phonus interruptus.
Yes,
a few times.
Exactly.
All right, and tell us a little more about Sullivan and Sons, and it does take place in Pittsburgh at a bar.
It does, yeah. So I get to work at a bar.
Why does nobody have a Pittsburgh accent on the show?
Because people wouldn't watch.
It kind of bothers me a little bit when they do a show in Pittsburgh and they don't use the accent.
How about you do a Pittsburgh accent for this show?
It's not easy for me to do the Pittsburgh accent because it's like.
But they don't really do that with AM. Like, remember Cheers? Of course, you remember Cheers, one of the most successful shows of all time.
There was a
Cliff was the only one actually trying to do a Boston accent.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And
like everybody was just doing
general.
Your standard, you know, middle of the road. Because like if you did a show in Milwaukee, everybody would be talking like Sarah Palin. Like, oh, geez, like this.
Well,
it's like,
in
no
Pittsburgh,
one, yeah.
the accent is a little bit lazy, and so it does sound a little, I don't know.
What is it, Aaron God?
It's just, they kind of like,
a lot
yeah,
like
they
that.
They go downtown and that, and they, you know, watch the Stillers on Sunday and that. And it's just this language is very, very lazy. It's just like all in the front of the mouth, and it's just kind of like, you know, my brother and I, you know, hey, my father and I came over, and my mom and I, you know, my mom's going to write up the house.
The people created who created the show?
The show is stars and is created by Steve Byrne, stand-up comic, who's from Pittsburgh.
Right, he's from Pittsburgh.
Of
okay.
course, right. And so did you guys ever go to Pittsburgh to shoot the exteriors? Or?
No.
No, but somebody did, right? Somebody did some flyovers.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple shots. I don't know where they came from.
But, of course, you shoot the show where here?
At Warner Brothers Burbank, California.
And so that works very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Warner
Brothers.
Brothers
is the largest studio in California, I believe, right?
So, it's up there. I'm not sure specifically.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. Yeah, I love that.
It's just nice.
It's nice.
And they do a machine.
Yeah,
they do a thing. Well, I guess most of the studios do this now, but it's like you'll like be at a soundstage and there'll be a plaque on the wall at Warner Brothers that says these are the films that were shot here, and it was like Casablanca and the Caine Mutiny and this, and it's like this beautiful sense of history, like this place, this building right here housed. Filming for these unbelievable shows.
Yeah, our stage, stage 10, it literally goes from Best Picture winners to Family Matters.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
that's really exciting.
It was the house that Urkel built. something like that.
Okay, and when the tours come around, do you guys all wave outside of the soundstage and say hello?
So Steve Byrne is just like, he's like such a great guy. So if we're not in the middle of something, he sees a tour go by, he'll bring the whole tour in and give him a tour
great.
Of stage. And,
that's
yeah.
really good. We're trying to get him
that's
on story worthy. You could give him a good word for us. Couldn't
sure,
you
sure.
put a word in for us with Steve Byrne?
Yeah.
I'm going to hold
you. Tell him that we'll make a poop joke.
I'll tell, but
you know, kids love that.
Well, you know his Twitter, Steve Perps Poops Burn. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Steve's
just
Burn
him there.
Right,
exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so Sullivan.
All he does is tweet about hot sauces.
Is coming back when? When is it coming back?
June or July,
that's
season
really
three
exciting.
On TBS.
On TBS.
Thursday nights, 10 o'clock.
That's
excellent.
A new. TBS is producing a lot of shows. I mean, they have a new show coming up from what's his name who created Scrubs?
Oh, Bill Lawrence, Ground Floor.
Yeah, Bill Lawrence. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know why his name went away.
That's on right now.
Well, congratulations on your career, really.
Well, thank you.
You are very accomplished. You're doing really well. And I think part of it has to do with your mom. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like there's something that I now appreciate more than ever when I see friends of mine who I grew up with who've been on a trajectory that was just to impress their parents. And now they're, you know, in their early 30s, and then it's like, what am I doing?
They're not where they want to be.
Yeah.
It's but like, your mother really supported you. That's really beautiful. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good to hear it.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I would like to thank a couple of people,
now.
Including Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network. Thanks for helping us.
Sean. I love pro wrestling. Please don't hurt me, Sean.
I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy who wrote our theme song, Follow Me.
He pooped it out, literally.
He's an excellent tennis player, I will say that. And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Caleb Bacon. Thank you, Caleb. And of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Story Worthy on iTunes and visit the Story Worthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.